The book of Luke, Luke chapter 11. Now, last Sunday, we preached a message in the morning on peace, and I believe that's something that we all should desire to have as God's people, the peace of God, having peace with God by being saved, but then having that peace of God. Amen. And then Sunday night, I preached a message on prayer, and appreciate that song this morning by Sister Carla on prayer. And so now this morning, we're going to change it up, and I'm going to preach on prayer. So here in Luke chapter 11, and you say, you just preached on prayer. I know. You're going to preach on prayer again? Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's almost like we need it a lot. Amen. 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 Now, come on. Let's be honest. If I preached every message on prayer, I wouldn't overdo it. You might get bored with it. But let's just face it. Amen. If there's something that's lacking in our lives, in our Christian service, in our walk with God, more than anything else, we'll find it usually is this area of prayer. But specifically, I want to look at this in a way this morning that I hope you'll see and understand and be a blessing to you and especially to others. The title of the message for the fellows back there with the CDs and on the internet and putting it all out, the title of the message is very simple. It's one three-letter word, ask. Amen. But you got to put a dot after each of the letters. A dot, S dot, K dot, which will stand for ask, A. Seek, S. Knock, K. Ask, seek, knock. Luke chapter 11 and verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves. For a friend of mine is in a journey's come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because of his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. We looked at that last week, that word importunity, which basically just means you just nag someone to death. You just keep bothering them. And that's what the Lord says we need to do in our prayer. It needs to be fervent. It needs to be consistent. And so he says in verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, A, and it shall be given you. Seek, S, and ye shall find. Knock, K, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone. Now, do you see that? Amen. Everyone? That's what it says. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. We call this promises from God. Yes. Notice the definite intentions in that verse. For everyone, that's definite, that asketh, receiveth. That's it. It's settled. And he that seeketh, findeth, period. And to him that knocketh, it shall, not might, not maybe. See, we call those promises from the Word of God. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Explanation, verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Would you do that to your kid? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Would you hand your child a deadly snake to play with? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? You want to see him get hurt? Of course not. You love your children. God, if you're a child of God, if you're saved, God loves you. And he says all you need to do is ask. Verse 13, if ye then, being evil, well, oops. That's what the Bible has to say about man. That's why man doesn't like the Bible. The Bible knows all about you, and it's not afraid to tell it. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And the idea is very simple. We need to ask. We need to pray. I was reading something by Tozer, and I like Tozer. I like his writing. And Tozer said one time in speaking about prayer, he says, it's evident in our churches that we've lost the O. And then he explains, many times now our prayer is just a simple few words of the mouth with some intentions, but we very rarely anymore find ourselves in that place of prayer, in serious prayer with God, where the only thing that can come out of our mouth is, oh. And he said, it's those prayers that matter. It's those prayers that change things. But I want you to notice in this passage, you're looking and you say, I know those promises are true, but I don't know. Because I've asked sometimes and it just doesn't. Now you got to think about this thing. All you've been looking at here, what is going on here? Notice verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend on Facebook? It didn't say that. That's not a real friend. Amen. Is it? One that you can get just by pushing a button. The Bible says, if a man have friends, he must show himself friendly. You better watch out for some of those friends on Facebook. Amen. The Bible says Abner had a friend. Didn't do him much good. Might not be doing you much good either. Amen. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Hey, here's an idea for you. Come to church all the time. You might make some friends. But to do that, you know what you're going to have to do? Now, here's the key, and it's deep. Now, stay with me. I'm going to get deep on you. If you want to have some friends, show yourself friendly. What's the best way that you and I, with our brothers and sisters, can show ourselves friendly? Notice verse 6, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. This whole issue of prayer, this whole thing that the Lord's brought up, this fella is not going and knocking on his friend's door to get anything for himself. He goes out of his way in the middle of the night. He's knocking on the door. He's causing importunity to this other friend. Not for himself, but for a friend of mine. Why do you pray? Have you been praying for your friends? I believe I'm among friends this morning. I hope I am. I try to pray for my friends. Do you pray for your friends? He wasn't asking. He wasn't seeking. He wasn't knocking for himself. He was doing it for a friend. Is Jesus Christ your friend? Are your brothers and sisters in Christ your friends? We're a friendly church where all the friends can be friendly and friendly, and we're all friendly. Well, listen, what does that mean? You know what a real friend will do? A real friend will pray for you. Listen, a real friend won't just say, I'll pray for you. No, anybody can say that. You know what a real friend will do? They'll pray for you. Are you a real friend? Are you a friend that can be counted on? Are you a friend as Jesus Christ was of sinners? Do you pray for sinners to be saved? What kind of a friend are you? You see, a friend prays. That's the story. That's what's going on. It's someone that's praying, not for themselves. Someone that's going out of their way, not for themselves. Someone that's spending time and causing importunity to another, not for themselves, but for a friend. A good friend praise. Proverbs chapter 18, hold your place there, but if you would, just real quick with me in Proverbs. In chapter 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Say, who's that? Jesus Christ. You know what he's doing for me all the time? He's interceding on my behalf. He's a good friend. My Savior has been praying for me since the very day I got saved. Amen? He's praying for me. He's interceding for me. That's a good friend. I'm glad Jesus is my friend. You ever met an unfriendly person? I didn't mean to get anybody here under conviction when I asked that. I asked that, and some of you were like, what are you trying to say? I wasn't talking about you, I hope. But, I mean, you ever just met somebody, it just doesn't matter what you do or say, they have no desire. They don't want to be friendly to anybody. Man, that's not a good person to want to be around. I don't enjoy being around people like that. It's just, it's depressing. Amen? But a good friend will pray for their friends. I've had many gracious brothers and sisters in Christ give me many things since I've pastored. Want to be a blessing to their pastor, and that's a blessing. And I pray God blesses them for it. But they've given me clothes. Some of them even fit. Praise God. They've given me gifts. They've given me money. Praise God. They've given me food. Amen. And some have even given good advice. Praise God. And I appreciate all that. But you know what I appreciate more than anything else? You know what I covet more than anything else, above any gift or any money or any trip or anything else? It's your prayers. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
It's your prayers. I thank God for your prayers.
Yes.
Amen. And a good friend is someone that'll pray for you. Amen. Brother Henry was up here during the morning devotional, said something about Brother Ray. If he had $1 million, he might, you know, quit the pastorate and all that and go and do that. And at the time, I wasn't thinking clearly. I said amen. Then I had to take it back. I figure we should find out. It's the only way, you know. But listen, I'd rather know that I have someone's prayers than their money, any day of the week. Amen? That's the greatest thing, as far as I'm concerned, that you can give or do for anyone else. We have so many missionaries that come through here. I wish we could financially support every single one of them. We can't. But you know what we can do for all of them? We can pray for them. Keep those prayer cards. Pray for them. Amen? That's being a good friend. That's what a friend will do. He'll pray for them. You have any friends? Your real friends are the ones you pray for. Amen. That's who your friends are. You ought to pray because they're your friends. You ought to pray so that maybe they'll become your friends. And so what the Lord says we need to do in this situation is simply this in verse 9, Luke chapter 11 and verse 9, and I say unto you, what should we do, Lord? Ask. Why? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. But who are we asking for? You see, the promise isn't if you ask something for yourself, you receive it. The promise is if you ask something for somebody else, they'll receive it. You with me? Now stay with me on that. Don't lose me right there. Amen? We have prayer meeting on Wednesday night. What's the purpose? Why do we do that? What's the point? You know what we're doing? We're finding out the needs of others so that we all can pray for them. That's the importance of prayer meeting. Amen. Otherwise, all I do is pray for myself. But I think what impresses the Lord is knowing that we're praying for others. That's the way to be a true friend. Now notice, if you would, in verse 11, he explains this. Each of these points in verse 11 and 12 matches the ask, seek, knock. Did you ever notice that? Look at verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, if he shall what? Ask. Ask for what? Bread. What's this fellow asking for here in the passage? He's asking for bread. What? For a friend. What's he doing? He's asking, what are we to ask for, brethren? He's asking that God would bless and fulfill the needs of others. How about it? If I were to ask you right now, this week, what needs for others have you prayed for God to fulfill? Would you be able to give me a list? I didn't say for yourself. See, we're supposed to be Christians. I said for others. What have you prayed for specifically for others in God meeting and fulfilling their needs? You know, the Bible says you reap what you sow. You know what I'd do if I were you? I'd start praying a lot for others. You might reap others praying for you. Just a thought. I don't know if you've considered that or not. I'll tell you what, I miss Sister Helen. Miss her sitting back there. I'm going to miss her prayers. She told me she was praying for me. I believed her. I believe she was. I thank God for it. Bread. What is that? Needs. See? Food. Job. Money. Amen. I'm praying God bless you and provide you food and shelter and money and a good job and money. And more money. You see, I'm not spiritual like you. I pray that God will give you money. Well, I don't pray that. That's the love of money. I didn't say for God to have anybody love money. I pray that God will give him money. Say what? That's your needs. You need money. How many of you don't need money? Raise your hand. Because I'm going to take up an offering. I'll find out if you mean it. Amen. Sure. You need money. You want money. You go to work for money. You waste. You sweat. You labor. You put up with the world for money. Amen. Oh, it's not spiritual. No, it isn't. But it's a need. It's a necessity in this world. Might as well get used to it. Amen. And I'm praying that God will dump some money on you. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Anybody thanking God for that? Sure. I just don't think that that's... Listen, whoever you are thinking that right now, please don't pray for me. Don't pray for me. I don't want you praying for me. I want somebody that's willing to ask God to give me money to pray for me. Amen. Well, why don't you ask yourself? I can't. That's not biblical. But it is biblical for me to pray that God will do it for others. Amen. I don't want anybody here to love money. Don't get me wrong. I don't want anybody here to be covetous. Don't get me wrong. But money's a need. We got evangelists down here. I'm praying God will give them money. I'm praying God will help not get that trailer all done. I'm praying God will provide for their every need so they can do what God wants them to do. You know what it takes? It takes money. Put gas in that truck and go around the country. Amen. I'm praying we could get a men's home started here. I'm praying God will bless that boys' home. You know all that takes? It all takes money. I don't like it any more than you do, but it's just a fact of life. You want to keep these lights on in here? You want to keep things going? You know what it takes? It takes money. That's what it takes. I want to see God bless that string band and help him out. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take money. And I'm praying God will dump it on them. Sister Brittany trying to get over to Mexico. You know how she's going to do that? With money. That's how. Are you praying that God will... To quit being so pious. Amen. Quit being like that. Be real. Those people need some money. How come you haven't been praying that God will give them money? Amen. When's the last time you prayed that God would dump a bunch of money on someone? I didn't say for yourself. You see? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about for somebody else. For that Reformers Anonymous ministry, for the jail ministry, for the boys' home, for the youth pastor and his family, for missions, for the families in our church that have needs. That's what I'm doing it for. Look over in James. Let me show you what I'm talking about. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. You see, that's a promise from God. Shall. That's what you're getting through there. But here's the problem. There's two things that prevent that promise in our prayer. And they're right here in James. And you need to find out if you're guilty of one of these two. Look there in James chapter 1 and verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Do you really? When you're praying and asking God to dump money on so-and-so, do you really believe he can? I mean, really? See, check your heart. Make sure you really believe that God can. Amen? I didn't say for sure God will. All you can do is try to change God's will by calling him on his promises. Now, the Lord promised, ask, and you what? Shall or might? I don't believe God's a liar to you. I just believe the Word of God. Now, look over there in James chapter 4. Here's the issue. Verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Well, that would never happen among Christians, would it? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not. Why? Because you ask not. And when you do ask, what are you doing? Verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. I can't go in there asking stuff for me to God comfortably. Now, if I got a serious enough need, I'm going to try and get a hold of the throne of God and ask God to help me out. Don't get me wrong. Amen. But what pleases the Lord and what God desires is to see others praying for me. To see me praying that God would meet the easy. That way, there's no covetousness involved. There's no self involved. Whenever I have to pray for God to meet my own needs, there's an element of self involved. But I don't have to feel guilty at all for praying for others that God will bless their needs. There's no self involved in that, see? And I believe that pleases the Lord. I'm glad to know I have some friends praying for me. You see, he wasn't asking for himself. He was asking for a friend. What if we really, really all were praying for one another that God would bless and just dump it out on them? I mean, if all of us were praying that for one another, what a thing. What an amazing thing that would be. Now listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not talking about covetousness here, all right? I'm not talking about just so somebody can consume a bunch of stuff on their own lusts. But let's face it, there's a lot we'd like to do for the Lord. Amen? And one of the things that prevents that more than anything else is just having those physical needs met. Amen. Spiritual needs. When's the last time you prayed for someone's spiritual needs? You know somebody that's struggling? You know somebody that needs some victory? Like I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, it's not about, oh, well, you need victories, I don't. But I'll pray for you, little peon. No, that ain't it. As Christians together, we all have needs. We all have problems. We need each other's prayers. Amen? My kids need my prayers. I need my kids' prayers. We depend upon each other in the body of Christ. That's the purpose. That's the point of a church. You see? We're all leaning on each other, and we do that through prayer. Listen, I know this isn't some big, fluffed up, powerful, energizing, spitting, raunching around, running around, hallelujah, shouter out message. I understand that. It's just simple, right over the plate, and that's what's bothering you. I can understand this. I don't like that. Huh? I mean, right there it is. Because what I've been saying so far, how you been doing at it? Do you spend most of your time praying for others? Or for yourself? Listen, most of our Christian life, see, we're struggling with this. It's us. Yes. We're the problem. Amen. We're not the solution. Amen? I need to get out of the way for others, for the Lord, and for others to help them out. If you're not careful, you'll get so... Listen, don't take it the wrong way. Stay with me. You'll get so consumed with, I have to live holy. I have to be clean. I have to be doing right. I. And you forgot the whole purpose for why God has you here. It ain't you. It's supposed to be about others. This fellow is knocking. This fellow is seeking. This fellow is asking, not for himself. Not for himself, but for others. Right now. If you had to go up to anybody in here right now and shake their hand and honestly look them in eyes, could you tell them with a straight face, I've been praying for you? Could you do it? Look verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Ask for bread. Seek, and ye shall find. Verse 11. If a son ask bread of you with his father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask what? You see, you ask for bread, but you got to seek the fish. Who's been seeking the fish? Jesus told his disciples, follow me, and you will learn to fish for men. What's he talking about? He's talking about seeking souls, saving souls. Have you been seeking souls? Have you been praying for the lost? Hey, have you caught any fish lately? Have you been praying to catch fish? I believe a lot of God's people have good intentions, but they just get so busy with their own life and their own problems and everything else that they're not seeking fish. My desire for each one of you, I'm praying for you, that God will give you a stringer of fish. When you stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, you'll have some others that are there because of you.
Yes, amen.
Amen? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing in heaven? To have others there because of you, because you are willing to stand, because you are willing to say a word, because you were willing to get on your knees and pray for that lost brother, that lost sister, that lost parent, that lost friend, that lost co-worker, the one that was giving you a hard time. And you get on your face and pray and ask God to save their soul. And continue to pray and continue to create that importunity until finally one day you get the phone call. Until finally one day, hey, I got saved. Glory to God, I've been praying for you to get saved. That's something when you're praying for somebody to get saved and then they get saved.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Hey, have you been seeking fish? Have you been seeking any fish? Listen, I know some Christians now. They're more interested in fishing and hunting than they are fishing and hunting. Amen. A lot of Southern Christians. Amen. They are more interested in fishing and hunting for physical game and physical fish than they are fishing and hunting for the souls of men. And I enjoy fishing. I enjoy hunting. I'm not here to say any of that's wrong. I'm just saying, where's your priorities? What's more important? What do you love more? I mean, I thank God if I can catch me a nice, 7-pound largemouth bass or catch me a big old red or a big old dormant flounder. Praise God. Amen. Well, if I can get me a nice buck and drop him on the spot, oh man, that's great. But compared to winning someone to Christ, no comparison. No comparison. I listen, let's face it, some of y'all, you've prayed harder for a deer than you have for the lost souls of men. Help us, Lord. I mean, think about it. Wouldn't you rather be hunting and fishing for the souls of men? There's no warden. There's no bag limit. You can do it at night. You can bait. Amen. You can do all that when it comes to the souls of man. You don't even need a license. Hallelujah. Think about it. Let me ask you something. If there was no reward at the judgment seat of Christ for anybody you won for Christ, would you still seek to win them? just because you're a friend to sinners. You're passing by people every day, probably, that are going to end up in a lake of fire. Say, I don't have a chance to witness to them. Do you pray for them? Just as you're walking by them. Do you pray out there in the street when we're holding the signs and the Bibles? Are you praying for everybody going by that the Lord will deal with them and they'll get saved? See? How are you going to catch fish? You got to seek them. You got to be praying for them. Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost.
Yes.
Amen. Dwight L. Moody one time was talking to a fellow, and they were in this little library area of the church. And he said, I want you to see this painting. And Moody looked at this painting, and it was a picture of a lady being drawn out of the dark waters. And she's being drawn out. She's holding on to a cross. Being drawn out of the waters. And the fellow looks at Moody and he says, this used to be my favorite picture. And he says, what do you mean it used to be your favorite picture? And he turned him around the corner. He says, until this one. And this one was almost the same exact picture. You could tell it was the same artist. And here's the woman, and she's hanging on the cross, being taken up out of the water. But this time, as she's coming up, she's got one hand on the cross, and she had another hand on someone else that she was bringing up with her. He said, that's my favorite painting. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Have you been seeking any fish? Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock. Have you been knocking? And it shall be what? It shall be what? Open. Verse 12. Or if he shall ask what? An egg. There's only one way to enjoy an egg. It has to be opened. You ever eat an egg that wasn't open? No, you haven't. You can't appreciate an egg until it's open. You know what he said you're supposed to do? You got to knock for that egg to be open. You say, what is that egg? I don't know. Who knows until it's opened? I mean, what gifts, what abilities has God given you? Not for your own benefit, but for others. And you haven't even opened them yet? Because you haven't knocked? Well, here's an opportunity. Who would like to? Well, I couldn't do that. How do you know? You haven't tried yet. See? Well, I just couldn't get up there and do that. How do you know? You haven't tried yet. See, a lot of Christians, I believe, they go through their whole Christian life with a basket full of eggs that they've never opened. Kind of like a lot of people at Christmas, they just look at the tree with all the gifts, but then they never open them. They were gifts, but they sure weren't appreciated. Because if you really appreciated it, you'd open it and see what was in there. You know what I think? I think God has given some of you gifts that He hasn't given me. But you still haven't opened them. Why don't you start praying? Why don't you start praying and saying, God, show me. You know what? You know the problem. Maybe you're afraid you'll get egg on your face. When it gets opened. Bummer. Amen. Hey, join us for Spring Fest sometime. Amen. Everybody gets eggs on their face. Praise the Lord. We have egg toss and all that, and then everybody goes crazy with eggs. It's a lot of fun. Amen. But the idea is knocking. Which of you, hey, Father, could I have? Yeah, here's an egg. Who would ask for an egg? That's what it said. Why? Because it's something that has to be opened. What else can you ask for that needs to be opened? See? The Lord said it's an egg. You got to open it. You got to knock. You got to open it. That Bible says to each of us is given gifts differing. Right? All for the edification of the body of Christ. But then he concludes that. He goes right from there, watch it, to 1 Corinthians 13. Check that out in your Bible sometime. Those gifts, he goes right into 1 Corinthians 13. He says, I show you a better way. Because the whole purpose of the gifts is what? It's others. It's others. See? If I have the gift of prophecy, but I have not charity, it's not going to profit at all. It's not going to help me. It's not going to help you. Hey, have you been praying for others that God will give them gifts? Have you been praying for others and their gifts that God will strengthen their gifts? You know anybody that's called to preach? Do you know anybody that teaches Sunday school? Do you know anybody that plays instruments? Do you know anybody that sings? Do you know anybody that's real good at witnessing? Do you pray for them that God will strengthen their gifts? How about an open door? Have you been praying for an open door? Not for yourself, but for others. That others may hear. That others could be ministered to. That others could be helped. When is the last time you prayed? God, please open the door for sister so-and-so. God, please open the door for brother so-and-so. Or God, please open a door for me so that I can help others. Paul prayed and said, pray that a door of utterance will be opened unto me. He was always seeking for the open door. Where's the open door? Where's a way I can serve God? Where's a way I can reach others with the blessed gospel of Christ? Lord, would you please make a way? Would you please provide the opening? All that is spiritual, brethren. We have to realize now we're not fighting against flesh and blood in this thing. Amen? This is a spiritual battle, and the devil's trying to do everything he can to stop the Word of God from getting out and helping others. The only way it's going to happen is when God's people get a hold of the throne of God. God, make a way for the people in Seminole to hear the gospel, to be saved, to know you, to have a walk with you. Praying for others. A door of utterance. Have you been asking? Have you been seeking? Have you been knocking? Listen, not for yourself, but for others. Right now, is there someone in here that drives you crazy? Is there anybody in here that rubs you the wrong way? Could I ask you something? Is that the one you're praying for the most? Amen. Christian. Amen. When William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, walked down the streets of Whitechapel in 1865, he looked out upon the godless multitudes through the eyes of a true evangelist. He hurried back to his West End home, and said to his noble wife, "Oh, Kate, I have found my destiny. These are the people for whose salvation I've been longing all these years." That's the fellow that started the Salvation Army, William Booth. You know who they were? They were a bunch of drug addicts and drunks and prostitutes and just a bunch of lowlifes out on the streets. And he said, "These are the people for whose salvation I have been longing all these years. I have offered up myself and you and the children to this great work." Years later, in a New Year's message, he wasn't able to be there, but he wanted to send a message to the church. And so they had an envelope, and they came, and they opened it up that they could read it before the people. And it was only one word on the paper. And all it said was, "Others." And later, a Christian worker wrote a poem about that word. "Others, Lord. Yes, others. Let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee." Let's stand for prayer. Father, I pray you'd bless the message. Lord, I know it wasn't much, but I pray somehow something get through. Something, Lord. If nobody else, Lord, me. I needed to hear it. I need, Lord, to sacrifice more time on my knees for others. I need to show myself friendly. And Lord, even right now, I lift up the needs of everyone that's here. And God, there's real spiritual needs that people have right now. There's family problems, work problems, money problems, health concerns. God, so many. God, would you please help them? God, would you please answer? Would you please aid them? Would you please strengthen them? Would you please give them victory? And God, move on their behalf. Father, right now, before thy throne, I lift them all up to thee. God, please be good to your people. Please bless them. Bless them, just pour it out on them, God. Help them. God, bless them with good health. God, bless their children. Bless the moms and dads. God, bless our ministries as we seek others, as we seek to win the lost. May we be like that woman, Lord, not just clinging to the cross herself, but bringing someone with us. God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, that we'd knock and, Lord, whatever we can do for others, whatever gifts and abilities, Lord, that you would choose to give each of us, help us to recognize them and use them, Lord, not for ourselves, but for others, to help someone else along the way. God, help that word to always ring true in our hearts each and every day that we walk this earth, Lord. That word, others. Lord, that's why you came. You didn't come for yourself. You came for us. Lord, you've come to help us. All you're about, Lord, has always been for us. And Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, that you've always thought about others before yourself. Help us, Lord, to be more like you. And Lord, not just say it in word, but to truly be Christians that spend time on our knees on the behalf of others. Lord, I know we'll never regret those times on our knees that we've interceded for a friend. Help us, Father, I pray, to show ourselves friendly. And ask and pray it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Lord bless you. And,